Thank you, Your Honor. If it pleases the court and counsel, there's three central themes in the case before the court. The first is the failure of the ALJ to include the claimant's depression in his RFC determination. The record is quite clear that the claimant does have depression, and there's indications that it's at least at a moderate level. And the ALJ stops with the analysis at step two of the process, namely whether or not it's a severe impairment. In concluding that it's not a severe impairment, he does not go on to include it in his RFC determination. The magistrate, in reviewing the decision, also notes that the ALJ had failed to do so and then concludes because it's not a severe impairment, he wrongfully states that he does not have to include it in the RFC. The reason that's very important in this case is that the RFC determination by the administrative law judge is very, very narrow. It's less than a full range of sedentary work, and the depression can certainly be outcome determinative, and where you're not asking the court to reweigh it. There certainly is the burden of the commissioner at step five, which is where this case is decided at. It is the commissioner's burden to determine what the claimant can or cannot do in terms of other jobs. And if you're leaving out the factors that the regulations and the case law say that have to be included, namely non-severe impairments, which we dispute, but in any event, we assert that it's actually at a level of severe. But even at that, you have something where the ALJ has ignored something that the case law is very clear and regulations are very clear, must be included. We then have that compounded by the ALJ's determination of that certain evidence doesn't merit his consideration. Again, once he gets into the case, he never acknowledges that the GAF by Dr. Boyd is consistent with moderate depression, and that's important. He ignores the fact that the thyroid labs are abnormal, and Dr. Craddock, who's written an opinion in this case that supports the claim, namely the claimant cannot perform sedentary work on a sustained basis, that those labs are abnormal and contribute to her fibromyalgia. The ALJ wrongfully concluded that the thyroid condition was controlled. He misstated the physical therapy. She only attained one goal, namely her ability to perform her own home exercise program, but in terms of reducing her pain below a 4 on a 10 scale, changing the level of pain she's experiencing in her elbow, not waking up without pain, and able to tolerate longer periods of home activities, those are all factors ignored by the ALJ. He ignored her poor sleep. He ignored the effects of the medication, namely the dizziness. The fact that Dr. Craddock throughout the record is noting factors consistent with her having good days and bad days, which ends up being a central issue in his analysis of Dr. Craddock's opinion. Specifically with regard to Dr. Craddock, the ALJ, for reasons that are not clear in the record, takes Dr. Craddock's office note of October of 2004, which is 6 months into the closed period, as the court is aware. This is a closed period case for the period April of 2004 through March of 2006. He looks at an October 4, 2000 clinic note and uses that as his RFC determination, notwithstanding the fact that Dr. Craddock's records thereafter show a significant deterioration in the claimant's level of functioning, increase in her medications, increase in her symptoms. So there's no explanation whatsoever by the ALJ as to how he managed to do that. We also have the fact that the ALJ engages in significant speculation. One could not help but wonder what Dr. Craddock's opinion would have been if, with regard to the limitation that the ALJ assigns to the claimant as an RFC, namely, would she continue to miss work, would she need excessive breaks. That's not up to the ALJ to wonder. It's up to the ALJ to find out in this non-adversarial process so that the claimant's eligibility for the benefits under the regulations can accurately be determined. One of the things that really jumped out in my analysis of the record, and I hope the courts appreciated this also, was with the ALJ being troubled by the fact that in individuals with fibromyalgia do have days that are good and bad. As I've noted, Dr. Craddock notes that clearly in her records. The claimant notes that in her subjective complaints throughout the record. The claimant notes that in her testimony. And the ALJ's flawed logic is that bad days are just as likely to occur on her days off as her days that are work that she's working. Well, again, the regulations is the ability to perform work on a sustained basis, which is 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, week in and week out. 5 days compared to 2 days, they don't occur with the same degree of frequency, and certainly I would think the individuals at Las Vegas would probably be rubbing their hands if people came in with that sort of analysis of the odds of when something may or may not occur. There also seems to be a rather unbalanced view of the record in terms of if, and I think I appreciate the fact that Dr. Craddock's opinion would be held up to the light a little more than any others, because her opinion clearly is going to be controlling. She's a board-certified rheumatologist. She is the treating physician. She sees the claimant on a regular basis. But when you have the state agency physician that the ALJ has no problem including his statements in terms of giving weight and analysis when the state agency physician didn't even complete the forms and leaves the reviewer clueless as to what records the state agency physician did in fact review, there's a problem with that sort of logic. Again, the burden falls on the commissioner in this instance. I think one of the things that is also disturbing is that the commissioner wants to argue that, well, gee, you know, the depression is simply not noteworthy in terms of whether or not it would have any impact on work-related activities. The ALJ never advanced that argument. The ALJ looked at depression, not severe, out of sight, out of mind, end of case, and it's improper for the commissioner, pursuant to Golombewski, to now come forward in advanced grounds that were not advanced by the commissioner. Also, I think it's troubling that it's troubling that the commissioner's characterization of the GAF in terms of there seems to be a tendency, not just in this case, but in this court has probably seen in other cases, where if the GAF score would in some manner lead to the to support a determination that a claimant's not disabled, then in that instance, that the GAF is something that's articulated and referenced in determining the claimant's RFC. If the GAF is something that supports a claim, then it's ignored. And the commissioner's conflation of the directives in the Federal Register with regard to consideration of the GAF for the listing consideration versus consideration of the GAF for RFC determination is misplaced. This court has noted in the past that GAF may be helpful in the ALJ's determination of a claimant's RFC. I believe I've addressed.
Save the rest of your time for rebuttal.
Yes.
May it please the Court, I'm Ann Kleinman on behalf of the Commissioner. Counsel argues that the ALJ did not consider the claimant's mental impairment at step four or anywhere past step two of the sequential evaluation. That is simply incorrect. The ALJ discussed the claimant's mental impairment in two different places in the decision. He did discuss it at step two, but then he later discussed it again. The ALJ found that she had mild difficulties with daily activities, social functioning, concentration and persistence and pace, and no episodes of decompensation. The ALJ did find that it was not a severe impairment, but he again considered this impairment later on when evaluating her RFC. When evaluating the RFC, the ALJ specifically said on pages 23 and 24, discussed her daily activities, doing dishes.
Some odd things in his opinion. Looking at a paragraph which he says that the patient's bad days could just as easily occur during the 8 to 10 days a month the individual was not working as opposed to the 20 to 23 days a month the individual would be working. That's not very good arithmetic, right?
I'm not here to vouch for the arithmetic.
Well, I mean the bad days are unlikely to be concentrated in the days that the person just happens to be off work, right?
Well, I
cluster there.
I believe what is important is that Dr. Craddock, the treating physician, was well aware of the claimant's bad days. And being well aware of the claimant's bad days, Dr. Craddock still opined that the claimant could perform a range of sedentary work, regardless of how often.
I understand that. That's a separate point. But and the other thing that was odd in the same paragraph was when the ALJ says the claimant could certainly take a job which involved an afternoon, evening, or overnight shift. Overnight shift? That doesn't seem very realistic for her and her condition, does it?
I would not know what.
I mean, it's not easy to work the night shift, even if you're in good shape, right?
Judges don't do it.
Well, surveillance system monitors, however, may very well do an overnight shift, since that is the kind of a job that may be performed in an empty office building.
Yeah, but then you have to sleep during the day, which is not easy for people, right?
Well, I think
it's odd interpolations by the ALJ.
The ALJ did make some statements that, you know, this court can take issue with. But what the ALJ really did is he evaluated, analyzed, and articulated.
What about Ms. Sutterfield's point that the GAF is only used to deny claims and not to grant them?
I specifically take issue with that. He almost suggests that there's some kind of bias or outcome determinative bias going on here. I strongly object to that characterization. The ALJ does not have to consider a GAF score. A GAF score may be helpful. But what's important here is that the person who assigned the GAF score, which was Dr. Boyd, was in the best position to say what that GAF score specifically meant to this specific claimant. And Dr. Boyd said that GAF score meant that she could perform moderately complex tasks, follow moderately complex instructions. That is consistent with the ALJ's RFC. That is consistent with the jobs found by the VE. Plaintiff also argues that the ALJ shouldn't have relied on the opinion of Dr. Craddock because it didn't consider the bad days, but it really did. In fact, it's kind of hard to tell what counsel is arguing with regard to Dr. Craddock's numerous opinions. At some points, he suggests that the ALJ erred by relying on him, and in other points, he suggests that the ALJ should have relied on him, but erred because he didn't include some of the limitations that Dr. Craddock noted. But the ALJ thoroughly evaluated all of those limitations. Some of the alleged inconsistencies really don't exist. Counsel argued that there was an inconsistency with fine manipulation. But Dr. Craddock didn't impose any limitation on farm manipulation, so there was no inconsistency. Counsel argued that there was an inconsistency with the lifting. Dr. Craddock said 10 pounds with the left hand and nothing with the right. The ALJ did make a slightly different finding 5 pounds total, but he explained the reason for that finding. He said 5 pounds is a really small amount of weight. It's something that's so small it can be done with just one hand. If it can be done with one hand, then plaintiff does not need to use her right hand to lift, and therefore the ALJ's RFC finding is consistent with Dr. Craddock's limitation. This is not a case where the ALJ didn't articulate, where the ALJ didn't build a logical bridge. The ALJ considered the evidence ad nauseum. He articulated and articulated and articulated, perhaps a bit much, and reasoned and reasoned and reasoned. He didn't just build a logical bridge. He built a whole highway. There is nothing that plaintiff cites that suggests the ALJ's decision should be reversed or overturned.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Kleinman. Mr. Sutterfield, how much time does he have? 1 minute? Do you have anything further, Mr. Sutterfield?
Thank you, Your Honor. Just briefly, again, the issue is the ability to perform work on a sustained basis. The record is replete with the claimant having bad days. The record is replete with Dr. Craddock noting the presence of those bad days. Dr. Craddock, in completing her RFC report, indicates that the claimant is going to have bad days and is going to have days where they're not going to be able to, they're going to miss work. Vocational expert indicated those individual, those limitations, is not going to be able to perform work in accordance with the guidelines and regulations. The ALJ's analysis of that is just wrong for the reasons I've earlier stated and has stated in my brief.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Sutterfield. Ms. Kleinman.